Well, hello everybody and welcome. It's lunchtime and we are here where you want to be having lunch, the Tucson Foodie Headquarters. Each and every day, we invite the most interesting and influential newsmakers, tastemakers, style makers, lawmakers, movers and shakers, foodies and friends to join us for power lunch around our table. And this is Around the Table, the Tucson Foodie Edition number 8, live from the City of Gastronomy and live from the Tucson Foodie Headquarters, where we are in the test kitchens. And if you want to know why Tucson Foodie has its finger on the pulse and knows everything about everything edible, drinkable, sippable, and cookable in town, we have the answers. Because for one of the rare moments in time, the two Tucson Foodies are in the studio test kitchens with us at the same time. For national security reasons, this rarely happens, but Adam Lerman and Jennifer Teufel are here with us co-hosting this number 8 anniversary edition. We've been doing this for 2 months now, getting great feedback, and I am thrilled that we are on the first show of summer, where I'm thrilled to welcome you both.
For and Tucson, for Tucson security reasons, for the culinary, you know, community, both Adam and I have to travel separately, and one
in
of
separate
us,
Ubers. You have to be in separate Ubers,
and one of us is sequestered at all times.
Well, and you know, it's really funny. You rarely see pictures of the two of you at the same spot eating the same food, which begs the question: do you two have the same taste?
No. I don't think so.
But you both
just
have
for some stuff, yeah.
But you each have an excellent palate, but they're very different frames of reference for people.
Sure.
So what makes you the Tucson foodie? Like, how was this dream born and how have you evolved in your Tucson foodiness?
Oh. Tucson foodiness, Adam.
That's a
thing.
That's a deep question,
it's
John.
A thing.
His middle fingers and his thumbs are in the lotus
they
pose.
Are not. They're
He's
not.
Like, oh, my Tucson foodiness.
I think that would take too long to answer. That's going back 10 years of evolution.
So. Are you a different foodie now than you were when you first became Tucson foodie?
Yeah, I think so. I think we all are. I mean, we kind of evolve
Not necessarily. I mean, you are really open to exploratory. You're curious. And you embrace the new as well as the authentic and original. So one of the things I always get from Tucson Foodie is this appreciation that this community is made up of everything edible. And there isn't a stone you don't turn over to look for something wonderful. You go to the randomest, smallest, most famous, and most unknown places in search of stuff. How has your editorial mission changed?
Well, it gets harder as we uncover stuff. There's obviously less. We have to really search harder and harder. So that's probably the biggest challenge right now. And then obviously when there's something new, we're all over it.
And right now he's sort of doing this rediscovering. He is very exploratory on the south side and on
that's not
the
a rediscovering, by the way.
That's a rediscovering kind of. You know,
I've never deeply explored it.
Okay, he's doing a deeper exploration and a more extensive exploration. He's really entrenching himself in that neighborhood. And then also, we had a lovely surprise. Neither of us had ever been to the swap meet out on the Tohono O'odham Reservation.
And that's the swap meet on the west side, yeah, that
right,
everybody talks
Mission
about.
Mission and Drexel.
Do you know that I've had more people say 3 of the 5 best tacos in town can be found at that particular swap meet?
I'm not
Is
surprised.
It true?
I would totally believe that to be true, yeah.
Best birria of my life.
Definitely the best al pastor.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Best birria,
it's
best
the
pastor.
Only true on the spit al pastor you'll find in town.
Really?
Yeah. Well, by like legally
by
speaking.
Law,
yeah.
So of course,
yeah, you can't.
And we're not going to narc on the people who are doing.
All right,
it.
Let me ask a question: what is al pastor supposed to be, and what is it in most iterations today? How are most of us going to know what an al pastor is? And if we're new to Tucson and we're discovering it, what are we going to go look for and ask for to get an authentic one?
Well, I'm sure people would argue that flavor-wise, it doesn't need to be on a spit, but traditionally it's on a spit with a pineapple on top. So those juices kind of run down and cook in the meat. But so you know, it's because we can't use a spit, people are marinating it and grilling it. And I think he over there at the swap meet, after it's shaved off that spit, he does grill it up. But yeah, I thought it was the best al pastor I'd had in town.
And most times al pastor is done with a pork, but it can be done with any protein. Is that an al pastor style or the al pastor treatment, or is al pastor only always done with pork?
I've only known of it to be done with pork.
So one of the things that people often don't realize about al pastor is that's a derivative of a Persian food, you know, so that's why you find those similarities between those flavors. And oftentimes...
like a gyro.
Exactly. It's that similarity of flavors and cooking styles, and that, you know, is one of the things about living in Tucson and in Mexico is, you know, you have this heritage over 4,000 years that we talk about, but then you have starting these layers of European and Middle Eastern accents that start interweaving themselves into their culinary.
So the
community.
Pita is not that different than a tortilla. The al pastor is not that different than a gyro. I mean, there's some
shawarma.
Shawarma different than it, which is not. It's a different thing.
Well, the shawarma, yeah, I would. I guess they're both on a spit, right? But I think I would still associate the shawarma closer to the pastor than the...
But here's what's funny. I know, and I could take you there right now. I know there are a couple places in town where there are spits going and they carve the meat off.
They carve the meat, but then they have to reheat the meat to temp to get it to code.
Gotcha.
And so it's that secondary cooking. And you might like that better. That might be what your palate likes. But I enjoy it carved right off the spit.
Because it's juicier.
It's juicier. It's not grilled, actually, which changes the flavor, which is delicious, too. Oftentimes, people you find here, they call it al pastor because they give you some thinly shaved pork and throw some overly sweetened pineapple on the top, and they say, oh, pastor.
All right. We could sit here literally all day. We have a jam-packed and fun-filled show. We've got a lot of Tucson friends coming in to visit
with
us.
Let's talk about we'll talk
and
about
then we'll
that.
Go to what he's
okay, so I'm really
who's
excited.
Coming in today?
Okay. So we've got John Martinez from Tito and Pep.
We love him.
We love him. I'm so excited because you're putting on my glass. Don't make fun of the old lady in the... Anyway, Adam's making fun of his partner as usual. Anyway, we've got John Martinez from Tito and Pep. We've got Nate Aries and Kyle Nottingham from Prep and Pastry and Commoner & Co. and the newly coming up August Rhodes Market. Then we have the lovely David Solozano.
The birthday boy
From Pinkas, new chef Pinkas.
He's a new executive chef.
Right.
And have you gone over and tasted the turkey and what he's done to the menu?
He's revitalized it. His soup is amazing, and his rice pudding. His rice pudding, dude, it's killing me. And then we have Alex from The Hub is coming. Who else is coming? I feel like
Negroni
I'm missing
week.
Something.
Eric Harding
from Elvira.
He's our official show mixologist.
Yes, and we're gonna talk Negroni. But right now, our listeners want to know, Adam, what did you eat this week that you want people to know about?
Well, I really enjoyed the new Panamanian City of Gastronomy menu that Janos rolled out.
That was yesterday.
Over at Downtown Kitchen. We got it a couple days ago. So we we were fortunate enough to get to...
Yeah, we're fancy.
You know, we did a little photo shoot, and so we were able to sample every item on that menu. And, man, I honestly cannot remember one name because they all have about three different Panamanian words in them. But there was not one thing I didn't like on there.
It was so
delicious. Including the dessert and the cocktail.
And what we should say is this summer's road trip that Janos is doing and taking us into different places because he loves to explore different culinary regions of the world, this year is all about the Delice Network cities that inspired him.
No, it's specifically actually cities of our sister cities of gastronomy.
Oh, it's not the Delice?
No, it's not specific to Delice.
Go to a city?
Yes.
They do, but it's not all of them. That's not who. Anyway, so we were really excited. He was so passionate. You know, he has maintained his passion about food and what he's serving to you. Somebody's just walking in. Oh, it's Nate.
Hey.
It's Nate and Kyle. Congratulations on your new restaurant opening. So we're going to finish up with Adam. Adam, okay. So straight up, everybody needs to get over to Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails to have that delicious Panamanian
menu. What is the Panamanian food? Like, someone asked me what, because they're having a big dinner on Friday night. at the Carriage House with the Panama City Panamanian menu that they're launching, that they launched yesterday, that you tasted. Mm-hmm. So everybody can come and have a tasting of that. There're going to be cocktails, there's going to be pairings with it, there's going to be everything you experience, and there's a special version of this dinner. There's still tickets available for this. Tell me what Panamanian food was and tasted like.
Because of the being a port city like that, where the canal, obviously, there's so many different elements of different cuisines going on there. I mean, you have plantains, you've got pork, you've got really good seafood and ceviche. It's like
was special. Wasn't that octopus delicious? It was so good. And then they did these beautiful, a lot of work with plantains, but also incorporating cakes out of the plantains as stable foods as opposed to a flat tortilla. It was really special. It was delicious. And then there was a pork. Remember the pork that we want to put on a crisp white breast?
It was like a chicken salad, but pork salad.
It was so good. It was so simple.
And then I will say, like, the thing that, even though everything was super delicious, the thing that like really is on my mind is this jalapeno chocolate ice cream that like capped it off. I don't think that's part of the Panamanian menu. I think they have that there all the time, but it's jalapeno chocolate ice cream. And oh my God. Did you get a bite of that?
That was the only thing. So he brought for everybody two of everything. So we were all tasting everybody's plates. But literally, he brought one big, big cone-shaped bowl of the chocolate, jalapeno chocolate. And literally, we were fighting each other's spoons to knock each other out of there.
Well, listen, this is like a den of sharks because we had a big bowl of from Himi, like one of these special shaved ice cream.
Oh, the Korean shaved ice thing.
I mean, it was like this. Yeah. It was like this, like fantastic gem jewel box of an ice cream dish, and it was big. And I watched you all descend. I was like, whoa. Keep your fingers away.
Well, and then also we're trying to figure out who's going to share first and who's going to talk about.
I know.
So we can't talk about it right now.
I know you can't.
We'll talk about it later.
You got to get those bites in.
But I also want to say something else. I love the way you say, it's on my mind. A great dish, a bite of food, a moment, a person.
A great movie.
When it stays on your mind like that, I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that.
Well, you know
that.
Why it stuck in my mind is because at around 2:30 in the morning, I shot up out of bed, and I think it was that chocolate.
Yeah, I bet.
It was rich. But it's sticking around, though.
All right. Listen, we are going to take our very first break, and when we come back, we're going to the new prep and pastry, and we're going to talk about the new stuff going on in
town. That was another meal where we were all fighting each other for the food.
Oh, the new prep and pastry?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They slayed it.
Well, what else did you... And before you go, because you ate a lot of... What was the other thing this week that rang the bell?
What rang the bell? Oh, you know what I just had? Have you ever had the shredded beef chimichanga at Club 21?
No.
Man, Ryan Clark has been trying to get me to go to this place forever. You know, it's been there since 1946.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know people from Tucson that have been going there their whole life.
I just made it there for lunch today. And there's like cinnamon in the beef. I mean, you can taste it. It is really good and interesting.
You know who did that? There was LaRue's did that. LaRue's did a version where it had like a little bit of
cinnamon.
Like just that.
It just makes it a little different. Yeah.
I don't want to say
so
haunting.
Club 21. Club 21, really delicious. Yeah. So was it the chimmy or what was it?
Well, I mean, this was the shredded beef. So I imagine whatever you got the shredded in beef, the shredded beef in would be like that.
Okay, Club 21, yeah. We got you on our radar.
Yeah.
We're sending Jackie to take some photos.
That sounds really delicious.
Those are my two bites.
Those are the two bites I got you this week.
Right on.
Jen, how about you?
I got to say, in our dinner, there was a chicken that they did that was so beautiful that was stuffed with olives, brined in oil. That is so delicious, but it was just such a one pot meal that my grandma used to make that had fresh peas in the rice, and it was just perfect. And then chicharron in the rice, and it was just delicious and very homey. And now I want to make it at home and ruin it.
All right. So here's the other thing. You mentioned the word chicharron. You know, one of the best bites I had all week were the chicharron at Penca. I'm not a chicharron girl because they're never so wonderful that you can justify what it is.
Are you joking me? Like, I found, so good.
I tend to like chicharron.
Yeah. I like them. I don't love them. I love the chicharron that David Solorzano is doing.
Right on. Well, we'll talk to him about it when he gets here.
Listen, he's doing these ethereal, angelic, wonderful versions that are like, you know, I mean, they're the best I've ever had.
Well, while we're on Chicharron,
lean in.
While you're talking about Chicharron, I remember at Taqueria El Rapido, which I believe I mentioned before. It's a taqueria on Benson High, old Nogales Highway.
Old Nogales Highway,
or it might be Benson Highway. Anyway, just look it up. Taqueria El Rapido, and they have an chicharron taco. Oh my god,
it was so good.
God,
we
so
had a good meal
well,
that
no,
day.
I've gone back
just for that. No, you like the lengua.
I've gone back twice.
You like the lengua, right?
Well. You know, a lot of these little taco stands on the side of the road, they'll usually have like one or two things that's really, really good. But this one, I mean, almost every taco
was
I've
awesome.
Had there was—it's just so amazing.
The
oh
lengua was great too. The cabeza was great.
The cabeza is ridiculous.
We had a good,
good
taco yeah. day that day. Tuesday, get down to Rapido.
You know where I had a good? Well, I had three good tacos this week. I had a juicy, juicy, delicious shredded turkey taco at Penca. I had an insanely delicious rajas taco at Maria Maison's Boca Taco.
Yeah.
I love her rajas. And then I went to La Botana, and it wasn't a taco, but I had a smoky bean dip.
That I wanted. Serve with when you
yeah.
get
yeah,
there?
It's yeah, just, yeah, it's great. That.
It's crazy good. Like,
it's a craver.
It is.
Straight up. It's one of those things where you're like, it's on your mind.
So, but you know what it leads me to? It gave me a clue about a tip we can share with the audience. When you talk about food and recommendations and things to look for, the clues and the tips, the little things hiding in plain sight to say, well, what should I order there? Jane and Michael Stern from the Road Food Books have always said things like, you know, if there's a fiberglass cow out in front of the restaurant, order the steak. Or if there's like a big paper mache pig on the roof, you know, order some pork. Well, this is one of those times where if a menu says the first one's free and if you want more, it costs you $1.50.
Order that.
Because if they know that it's so good that somebody's going to want to order more, that's one of those little hidden things that you might see on a menu and go, wow, I think I want to make sure I'm zeroing in on that and save my room and my calories for that because that's going to be worth eating.
Club 21 has that on their menu about the salsa.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
So where else in town? Let's put the call out, 520-790-2040. Where in town do you know of that they say, the first one's on us. If you want more, it's going to cost a little something, but you're happy to get it again because it's one of those things that's truly irresistible.
Did you, while you were at La Botana, did you happen to have the El Percheron burrito?
No, I did not.
Dude, he is such a fan of that.
That's one of the best burritos in town. I mean,
he's in love with it.
Hands down.
See, I'm not a burrito person.
But you like good food.
I love.
And so this burrito.
I love good food.
But you have to share it with a few friends.
You would definitely need to share it.
And you know what I craved this week that I didn't get to, that I wanted to get to, that I couldn't get to?
Just one thing?
Yeah.
Just,
well, this one thing I was actually craving.
Sleep.
That too. Do you remember as a kid, because I know you and I have a very similar culinary tradition. We spent time in delis, real delis, with old guys named Morty, with snap front shirts and big Jerry Seinfeld glasses. You and I come from the same place that way. And do you remember the roast beef that they used to have at those delis that had that really good red juiciness to them? And they always had a really delicious flavor. The sausage shop at Prince and Fairview takes that up one more level by smoking their juicy reddish medium rare
and
roast
beef. Let's make sure
there.
It's not Sausage Deli. No, it's sausage shop.
It's Sausage Shop.
It's time for a break.
I know,
English.
But I have to tell you, I'm craving that smoked, thinly sliced, perfectly cooked roast beef.
I'm getting hungry right now.
It's so
shout out to Barbie over at Sausage Shop.
And Ken, her dad.
And, Ken, yeah.
And did you know that they will still smoke anything you bring them? They'll put it in the smoker and they'll fire it up. Yeah, bring them a pumpkin. I'm going to bring them
my dog Baxter. He just ate one of my shoes.
I saw that. I'm really sorry about that. Listen, we're going to take a break. This is Around the Table Foodie Edition, Tucson Foodie Edition number 8. We will be back with more live from the City of Gastronomy right after this. Don't touch that dial. Up next, Prep and Pastry is coming to talk about everything new, including that gorgeous new space on Campbell right at Mitchell Street. You're not going to want to miss a minute of what comes next. It will be delicious, and the insider tips will flow like wine. We'll be right back.
News, weather, and podcasts online at KVOI.com.
Black, silver.
close.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Around the Table, the Tucson Foodie Edition number 8. Coming to you live from the City of Gastronomy, we are thrilled to be here in the test kitchens at the Tucson Foodie headquarters, where you never know who's going to drop by. Today, we are thrilled to welcome to the table, and I believe this is for the first time. We talk about these guys a lot, but I think this is the first time you guys have together come in to hang out with us on Tucson Foodie Edition, for which we are enormously grateful. Jennifer Teufel, my Tucson foodie friend, and I welcome you back to the show.
Right on, right on, right on. I'm really excited, actually. As usual, but I'm really excited because this team are just killing it. They are bringing delicious and a great place to hang out, and they every day they do something new and they bring us something new. And you know, I think I talked about that I went for the first time on Father's Day for brunch at Commoner & Co. and literally had the best piece of brisket I have had since moving to Tucson about 25 years ago. So thank you, Kyle Nottingham and Nate Aries, and let's talk about what's new going on, because your world is getting bigger.
Yeah, it is getting bigger pretty fast here.
And yummier.
So it is getting yummier.
But you guys have been around for a little while now, and, mm-hmm. and you're doing a great job. And one of the things we want to talk to you about, you're a reflection of this community by virtue of what you make and serve at all your outlets. And I really want to salute you for getting who we are, because you are us and we are you, and you're giving us what we want, and you're doing it brilliantly.
Right, like, you know, we should make a note quickly that Nate and Kyle bring us the lovely prep and pastry. They just opened a new one there, and we're going to talk about that. Commoner & Co., and they have 2 prep and pastries, and they also have a new thing that they're getting ready to go into the other space, which we're excited to talk about. And they're also extending their reach up into Phoenix.
That is actually true. We're going to be doing a Scottsdale location prep and pastry, which I don't even think we've even announced until now.
Scoop. Sorry about that. I mean, scoop.
Breaking.
And we have to say that the dude who is building that for you.
Uh-huh.
Started his construction career working for me, oh, I'm so old, 20 years ago or something like that, 15 years ago. So shout out to Jason, right on.
And I was your air quotes, security
guy on one of my subdivisions.
When I was 16 years old or 18, and we would just stay up there before they got the security guards to run around your construction sites.
Yeah, because there were environmental, what are they called when they blow things up?
I almost died.
Environmental terrorists.
Activists. Yeah.
No, they were terrorists. They were lighting our stuff on fire.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Nate, for playing poker and underage drinking on our subdivisions.
Oh,
anyway,
I gotta take this back.
So let's talk about the new prep. I gotta say, Kyle, I don't know how you keep the experience right on target every time. I get good food from you every time. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, we're just trying to keep it consistent. You know, we have a large crew, a lot of really talented, hardworking chefs under us, so really credit to them working so hard and getting this place ready. There's a lot of man hours, a lot of sweat going into it. A lot of hard working goes into it. So credit to them, credit to the staff, the crew, everyone that's working hard there. They really made it happen. The food, we just try to keep it simple, and I always just try to serve, you know, what I would like to eat. So
what do you like to eat on the menu?
Oh, I mean, that's a tough one, you know, because literally everything I take pride in and I would recommend to anybody. But the poblano Benedict, probably one of my favorite things on the menu. Any of our Benedicts are good. The French toast, the pancakes are incredible.
The savory French toast that you do with chilies.
Yeah, that was actually one of Hannah's creations, and she just like nailed it out of the park.
So good.
Because the mouthfeel almost gives you like this like green chili tamale kind of thing.
It's delicious.
You wouldn't guess that going into eating a French toast that you would eat something so delicious like a tamale. But it gives you kind of like that mouthfeel.
I never wanted to taste it. I never said to myself, that's what I'm going to have this week. And I had that a few weeks ago at the one on Grant, and it slayed me.
And who's Hannah?
Hannah's one of our partner chefs, the bakery side. So she does all the scones, pastries, all of those programs. So
and Nate, you got to talk about the jam, because the strawberry jam. No, seriously, it's
the best.
It says grandma summer in England to me, and picking these teeny tiny delicious fresh strawberries, about half of them make it into the bucket, half into my mouth, and the rest she makes with jam, a very quick cook, and some lemon and sugar, and it's
yeah,
perfect.
that actually stays pretty simple. You know, we like to I like to say, you know, kiss it, keep it simple, stupid, you know, just and the jam was one of the main things, like, don't get too crazy with it. Just a little bit of lemon zest, sugar, strawberries, let it sit, let it do its thing, not try to cook it and like get it too, you know, I don't know, it's dark, and you know, almost like a freezer jam, you know, where you shock it being cold so it keeps the color and gets brightness. You know, it changed a little bit when Kyle came in, because you know, everyone knows when Kyle and I partnered up, I just said, all right, you know, I want to find the best, in my opinion. So when people start, you know, saying, oh, what a stupid comment, you know, best chef in Tucson, and I went in and found Kyle, and I was like, man, this guy is just like, you know, knocks it out of the park. And he came in and changed it a little bit, but nothing too crazy for the most part. You just kept it fresher.
Yeah, we took a little bit of the water content out, and just let it be what it is. You know, you want to taste strawberry and nothing else, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, literally, peeps, if you're listening to me right now, go get their in-house made brioche, have them toast it, get some butter and some of their strawberry jam and a good cup of tea, and you have a perfection.
That's so English.
Well, because I'm so English. What can I say?
But if I don't, I'd like to say, let's go back to the roots of this, because what you've done and what you do throughout the menu is, if you don't stop until you get everything that you offer to the, what I call, irresistible level. You make everything you make irresistible, which is not easy to do, because it's easy enough to get to good and good enough. It's really hard to get to irresistible, and even harder to sustain it so that every time we go, it's that good. That's got to be something that's part of your intention. And I wanted to ask each of you about the intention, because as you are growing and you're being consistent about it, there's got to be an intention behind doing what you're doing and doing more of it, but staying really true to it. What's that intention? What do you talk about amongst yourself to make sure that you're on the same page?
Stay on the same page. What we talk about amongst ourselves is, I do front, make sure that's consistent. Kyle does back, he makes sure that's consistent. You know, but the big thing is when Kyle came in, he was the first one to sit me down, and you know, everyone always is like, Nate, they just tell me what I want to hear. You know, Kyle didn't. We got 30 menu items. This is going down to 22 tomorrow. And then we're going to cut it down, you know, not counting French toast as a group of five. You know, those are just like one item per se in our world. It's out of the same station. You know, we cut it down to like 18 menu items.
Was that scary for you?
Yeah, it was terrifying. You know, I wanted to do, you know, I go on Pinterest, and all of a sudden I'm on Pinterest looking at, you know, trends and, you know, what's cool and what's fun about Kyle is he creates those, you know, he's one of those guys that are already creating the trends, and I was always behind the trends. And really my thing is, you know, making sure the consistency on the service, the standards, the ambiance, and that's where Kyle steps in and really just runs that. So as long as we stay in our lanes, which I think we like staying in our lanes.
I feel you. Yeah. Great partnerships, that's how you do it, right? Yeah. That's the achievement.
So, I mean, the intention is just keeping it small, keeping it repeatable. And, you know, I don't know, about a couple months ago, we were like, oh, we're going to open 20 prep and pastries. We recently were like, we don't want to do this anymore. You know, we're going to Scottsdale, yeah. But past that, we want to make Tucson home base. We always thought we were going to pull what some of our old bosses did and made Tucson kind of backhanded, and they home based in Phoenix. But Tucson's going to be home base, and we're going to keep this company a lot smaller than we actually thought it was going to be.
And we're luckier for it. So thank you both. Well, thank
Tucson's.
You both. So Kyle, talk about, we started about talking about intentions. So can you talk us through one of your dishes and how that started, through your intention for excellence and delicious?
Yeah, I mean, coming onto the team of prep and pastry was challenging in itself, just because of the sheer volume that we do. I mean, we're serving up to 700 covers on a Sunday, and it's literally, it's unheard of, you know, especially in my world.
You know, I come from fine dining, you know, really limited seating, limited menu. Everything is, every piece of garnish is exactly where I want it to be. You know, so going to that, to Prep and Pastry, where it's just a madhouse of just traffic and, you know, constant people coming in all the, like, it's not even like a 2 hour pop. We're talking about 10, 11, 12 hours of a full rail of these guys literally getting crushed like all day. So it's really daunting making a menu or even making a menu change where I know it's going to see 700 covers.
So can you talk about the iterations from an idea in your head of one of the dishes to a completed dish that you're ready? I mean, do you have something that comes into your head? One of those dishes?
I mean, let's just take the shishuka, for example. You know, I mean, we both thought this is something that kind of needed to be on the menu, something fresh, something that wasn't carb-based or on toast, and something that felt a little lighthearted and, you know, rustic at the same time. And really from conception to on the menu, it was really just me, you know, with a piece of paper and a pen, you know, dialing in the recipe, making sure it's perfect, making sure it's exactly where we want it to be, and then streamlining it and making sure other people could execute it. Because, you know, when we're doing different restaurants, I can't be there making everything. So it literally has to be dialed in perfect on a recipe, portioned out, costed. All of those things have to be in line before we even pitch it to be on the menu, because that's how much it needs to go through that process to even make it there.
Do you sketch it out? Do you take a pen and sort of doodle what it's supposed to
look
like?
He actually does sometimes. He does.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes. I mean, if I'm giving a menu to other people to execute, I kind of want to get them into my head of what I'm thinking of, you know, plate height and what textures and what contrast and colors and all that stuff. So sometimes I will jot down a little, you know, sketch of what I want the dish to kind of look like. But a lot of times I'm really hands-on. I just want to go back there and make it with the guys, you know, send it out, give them a spoon, say, like, this is how it should taste every single time.
You're talking about taste. So who tastes it with you?
Everyone tastes it. Nate tastes it. All of our partners sit down, beat up every single dish that we want to present. And it really goes through a pretty thorough process. You know, every one of our management team, and if one of them doesn't like it, you know, it's probably not going to hit the menu.
Yeah, we actually so I'm the bad guy of, you know, saying, okay, what's the turn? You know, we got to think about these things. It's sad now that we got to think, you know, how long is this item going to be prepped out for, because we pride ourselves on paying our team very well. But, you know, these items need to be made fast and efficient, consistent, you know, like, we beat all that up. We dive all the way down, which, you know, really this is fun for us. At the end of the day, though, you know, we both have kids, and you know, I got Mama Bear. I want to get retired. You got to make a little bit of coin here and there. So we beat that all the way down to just everything. It's, you know, we're not the days of the old, you know, 6 years ago when we started and we could just have the farmers pull up out back at the original Prep and Pastry and just take whatever they didn't sell at the farmers market that day, which I miss and we always talk about. And don't get me wrong, we still do Zamudio eggs, we still do, you know, XO Maya tea, we still team up with a lot of people. But
I actually am meeting over at XO tomorrow morning, always trying to
tell them I said
support
hi,
support the local folks. So, you know, we were lucky, Tucson Foodie, we were talking about this early, that we got to go, and thank you so much for this, mm-hmm. inviting us over to the new prep. We got to go early. We got to go take our photos and eat that day. And then you had us back during your soft opening, which was beautiful, by the way. And we loved how people just kept showing up, like, let us in. And finally on Sunday, even though it wasn't supposed to be your grand opening, you're like, okay, let everybody in.
Yeah. We just like to, you know, we're not like most places that are just say, hey, we're open. You know, we like to say, okay, you know, if we said we're open on that Monday, now everyone's going to know. But we say we're going to open on, you know, this past Monday. We were actually operating for a full week. So if anybody randomly pulled in and came in, they got to eat for free. It's just what we do, because we want to make sure that all those mistakes are corrected.
If you tell people that, next time you try to do that, yeah, everybody's just showing up for free, buddy.
Let's talk about the space, because the space that you're in, mm-hmm. was for a long time, I think, yeah, you're probably too young to remember, but it was a Village Inn.
It was a,
and then it went,
Coco's?
It was a Coco's.
It was a Coco's. Uh-huh.
And most recently, it was Casa Valencia.
Well, and then it was Yoshimatsu for a long time.
Yeah. Right.
And then it went to Casa Valencia, and you took the space.
Yeah. And they made it so him. I got to say, what to Carol Gugino and her team
and Ivan Escobel. And Ivan
at Elements. They did a beautiful job really reinterpreting, letting go some of the shabby chic feel and the kitsch of prep. At the other space, but really took advantage of the beautiful light and creating a light space. It feels a little East Hampton to me, a little beachy to me, without being kitschy beach experience. It's just that lightness.
What were you going for?
I love. Well, you know, again, I'm just not just saying this because Kyle is next to me. I say, you know, we brought Kyle in. We're going to keep these places simple. We're shutting Commoner down next Sunday night for a full remodel this summer. We're keeping, you know, the new location, August Roads, like kind of like our funky. We're actually doing
so.
The
tell us about August
morning.
Roads.
Well, August Roads will be our bakery for the whole company. But what it actually, you know, for the whole design, it's just we're keeping these all simple. Let his food show off when it hits the table.
Well, the food speaks for itself.
Yeah, and you know, just bright, easy greenery. Colleen LaFleur decked out all of our restaurants with greenery, hanging plants. You've probably seen the green hanging chandelier that's real plants, you know, like none of that fake plant stuff, you know, like just do it right, do it once. And make sure these spots are timeless. And people, again, unpopular opinion, I don't want "you are the French to my toast." I don't want the pig hanging on the walls everywhere. And I just don't want all those little sayings. It's, you know, it's kind of like the butcher's daughter in like New York. Yeah, someone takes a photo there, you know they're at the butcher's daughter.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just, that's where we want to get to is, you know, we're going to Scottsdale. We're going right next door to Sam Fox in Olive and Ivy. So we just want to be just clean and timeless. And, you know, when someone takes a photo there, you just know they're at prep. And that's what we're looking for.
I love that mosaic when you're walking in. That is a beautiful mosaic wall and great, very Instagrammable. But
that was genius.
Thank you.
I'm assuming that was Nate, because other than being a great restaurateur, that was a great restaurateur, but also a great marketer, I got to say. And so you have surrounded yourself with this beautiful team, really inspiring. And, you know, for me, oftentimes it just comes down to that jam. I also had a great, and thank you, Hannah, for this, that brioche, that filled brioche donut that I had, which was surprising to me because I'm so used to the cronuts, which is am I allowed to say cronut?
I don't even know. You'll probably get sued tomorrow.
Dosswant.
Yeah.
Dosswant. What do you guys call them?
We call them a dosswant.
Okay. So anyway, usually that sort of flaky pastry donut. Anyway, but this is a brioche filled donut with a sort of a espresso cream. That was great. That was delicious.
That's been pretty popular lately.
And I love that your stuff sort of gets out into the community too. Like, you can look for some of your stuff at other great partner locations, too.
Yeah, and we're going to pick that back up a lot more. You know, right now, we're just with Presta, Yellow Brick, our good friends at both of those spots. We used to supply a lot of places, but then we just couldn't keep up. We were so tiny and makeshift that we want to bring that back. We're gonna, you know, that's where Leadway to August Roads, supplying bread to other restaurants. Supplying, you know, caterings that we could not do anymore, things like that.
So is Hannah running that show?
You know, actually, Nate Teufel, formerly of Monsoon Chocolate, the baker over there.
Aha.
Yeah.
So we all wondered what happened to their savory stuff, which they shut down at Monsoon.
So now you know.
Nate Teufel is taking over.
Who
the
has
bread
an
program.
Excellent last name. No relation.
Last name, right?
No
he's
relation.
He's taking over the bread program, and he makes the most incredible sourdough. And we're doing it right. You know, we're doing old world, you know, heritage grains. We're going to have baguettes, sourdoughs, all made in-house. You know, lots of retail specialty breads, too.
Are you doing sandwiches?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So August Roads, it's a sandwich joint, you know, with a bakery in it. So we're going to be doing straight-up classics. You're going to see, you know, Rubens, clubs, everything, grinders, you know, all the classics we're going to do on incredible house-made bread. Using super incredible ingredients, and we're hopefully going to be the best sandwich.
And are you going to be naming these sandwiches names of things? Because I was going to say, you know. The Jennifer would be a great sample.
Which one is that? Well, what is it?
Well, that could be a couple things. We'll talk about it later.
I wanted to tease you.
But clearly, there will be a shelf or two with mason jars full of my strawberry jam.
So when you buy a sourdough loaf, we want to supply it with the strawberry jam.
And the butter.
We're finishing this, you know, we're finishing up the details on this stuff right now. But we've been working on this concept for a while, as you know.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it for a long time.
We've been talking about it for a year, and I'm like, listen, I just want to pull up with a bucket, and you just open the spigot and fill it with strawberry jam.
That sounds so Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
I am. I'm Winnie the Pig.
Well, we've been talking about it for a while, but we had to slow down. You know, we were getting way too ahead of ourselves. We had to organize. We just didn't want to, you know, fall flat on our face. And now that we've got some systems in place, we're ready to start popping some things out around Tucson.
When you're eating, you're at one of the restaurants, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
What is the thing that you want to eat when you're there?
The thing is, you're gonna just be like, oh my gosh, what a boring answer. Simple breakfast with bacon,
eggs,
no jam, side of hot sauce. That's it. That is my go-to. I mean, every single day.
Straight up, mine's the brioche with strawberry jam and a side of bacon. Oh, the bacon! Oh my god, the best bacon ever.
Will you remind everybody who we're talking to? Because this is one of the most delicious, fascinating. I want to go there now, and I am forgetting already.
Nate Aries and Kyle Nottingham from the Aries Group that brings us Prep and Pastry and the lovely Commoner & Co. and soon-to-be August Rhodes Market, named after Kyle's lovely kids.
Yeah. Oh, neat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How old are they?
August is 2.5 months now, so I'm in the trenches, newborn, opening up restaurants.
Yeah. Sleep
just,
much?
Like, life is just happening so fast, but it's incredible. And I have a daughter, Everly, too. I have a 2-year-old daughter and a little boy, August.
That's awesome. And, well, congratulations.
We're just opening up restaurants and trying to support our families and, you know, doing the real thing. So,
listen, it's been a thrill, and I love having you here. I could sit and we could chat all day. I know you've got to get back and get where you... I'm sorry? Well, we have to take a very quick break. And if you'd be good enough, I know you've got to run, but can you stay 2 more minutes? Because I just want to talk about...
We blocked off our whole day for you.
Oh, well. All right, so we're going to take a very quick break. You are tuned in to AM 1030, The Voice, where your local news and talk is your local talk, and your local talk is your local news. This is Around the Table, live, the Tucson Foodie Edition number 8, coming to you live from the City of Gastronomy. Each and every day, we invite the most interesting and influential tastemakers, newsmakers, style makers, lawmakers, movers and shakers, foodies and friends, and we will be back with them and more right after this. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Around the Table, live at the Tucson Foodie headquarters. This is Around the Table, Tucson Foodie Edition number 8, live from the City of Gastronomy, where downtown Tucson is percolating.
Because percolating.
They're percolating with culinary talent, and many of these influencers, these movers, these shakers, these style makers, taste makers, foodies and friends are all stopping by to see us today, because when we're here downtown, the vibe is just really alive and we get to irresistible. Because
we're going to talk to one of the most irresistible restaurateurs in town. Just such a lovely chef, a lovely host. You walk into his space and you're like, I want to be here. I want to eat that. And I want to hang out with these folks.
I got to tell you something else. There's another word I want to use. And he does this in a very humble way.
Hey, you're humble.
My next guest makes me swoon.
Dang.
His food is swoon worthy. And he's like, he soft plays it, right? Like, he's got a little of that Hank Mancini going on, where it's just
Hank
like
Mancini.
Right,
Hank, you know, because he calls her Jenny.
He does. He calls
Jenny and
actually,
Hank.
He does call me Jenny.
Jenny English.
He does.
And Hank Mancini.
He's deceased now, but yes.
He's a little deadish.
He's a little deadish, but he's a little... So it's got that vibe.
Okay, so let's reveal to everybody...
Who our guest is.
The lovely John Martinez from Tito and Pep.
From Tito and Pep.
Ladies, on Speedway.
It's great to be back. It's great to be with you.
So much fun to be with
you. Two wonderful people I get to spend some time with. What's going on?
we are thrilled you're here. And, you know, you've been open now close to a year, about 9 months, 10 months?
8 months.
8 months.
8 months on next Saturday.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
When you opened Tito and Pep, mm-hmm. it opened after almost another 8 or 9 months.
Yeah, it was 11 months from keys in the hand and finally turning those keys and letting people in and see what we've been doing.
And I remember you had me over, and you had barely got the paper up on the windows, and you're like, come and see the space.
Yeah.
And we walked through the space, and your eyes were bright and excited, and you're like, check this out. You weren't focused on the work that had to be done. You saw the future and what you were going to do to the space. And it was amazing
space.
The way you walked through, because it was your restaurant before it was your restaurant. Like, it was just completely waiting to become that space.
He was completely whittling away the wood to reveal what was inside of that block of wood.
Chipping away at that hunk of marble, you know?
Yeah.
Talk about the dream that was Tito and Pep before it became Tito and Pep.
You know, my wife and I moved back to Tucson about 6 years ago, and after about 6 months, you know, I kind of always knew I wanted to open my own place, but I was like, it's time to do it. So I started looking. I got really close on a few spaces. I really wanted to be in Midtown. I felt Midtown kind of needed a little extra love. There's some institutions in Midtown as far as a place to get some great food.
Well, I gotta say, living in Midtown, we were waiting for you.
Oh, thanks.
We didn't know, but we were waiting for you.
Oh. But, you know, my whole idea, what I really wanted to do was just have a Tucson restaurant. You know, just a comfortable place, kind of making food that the people that are lucky enough and smart enough to choose to call Tucson home. You know, the type of food that hopefully those people crave and create an atmosphere that they feel comfortable in and, you know, relax and really want to just kind of settle in and enjoy themselves and have some great food and drink. So kept our eyes open, looked for a couple years, and finally came upon this space that was coming available. And, you know, there have been some great restaurants in there that have been successful. And it just seemed like the right time and the right place. And
the right size.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's tucked into that neighborhood. So you're always surrounded by people who are ready to eat. I never see people there just once. They're always coming back.
I got to say, like, one of my, like, happiest moments in the restaurant, and it's not a singular moment by any means, but when I see people on one part of the dining room getting up to go say hi to people in the other part of the dining room, somebody's walking in, they're going over to their table, and they stop to say hi to two or three other tables, that's what just makes me feel great, because in addition to being a restaurant, I really want to kind of foster a community within our part of the Tucson community.
We're taking a very quick break. At the end of this, our first hour, time is flying by. Come and join us. Tune in at Tito and Pep every single day. John Martinez and his crew does something amazing. We'll be back with more right after this.